We just sang this song. He could have called 10,000 angels. 1 Corinthians 14 and 15 tells us we're to sing with the spirit and the understanding. This song we sometimes sing before we partake of the Lord's Supper. And I wonder, as we sing this song, what do we think? What goes through our minds as we do prepare our minds to partake of the Lord's Supper? And as we sing this song, he could have called 10,000 angels. Do we believe that Jesus could have called 10,000 angels? Do we believe that 10,000 angels could destroy the world? And do we believe that 10,000 angels could have set Jesus free? Do we believe that Jesus died alone? Do we believe that he did it for you and me? I believe that Jesus could have called 10,000 angels and more too. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 53, there in the garden, Jesus says, "Thinkest not that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels." Yes, Jesus could have called 10,000 angels. A legion in most references generally believed to be 6,000. Some say 4,200, some say 5,300, have different reasons for that, but the most common number given for a legion is 6,000. So Jesus could have called 72,000 angels had he chosen to do that. Do we believe that he could have called 10,000 angels? We need to believe that Jesus could have called 10,000 angels. And do we believe that 10,000 angels could destroy the world? Well, if we look in Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 36, the angel of the Lord went forth and smote the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. One angel smote 185,000 men in one night. If one angel could do that, what could 10,000 angels do? I don't know that all angels have the same role. I don't know that all angels have the same power. But if one angel could destroy 185,000 and all angels have that power, we can do the math and we can see that 10,000 angels could kill 1.8 billion people in one night. If 6,000's in a legion, and there would be 72,000 angels at Jesus' disposal, and using the same math, 72,000 angels could destroy 13.32 billion people in one night. Even given today's population, could kill the world almost two times over. That's the power that was in Jesus' hand. Do you believe he had it? Do you believe that Jesus could have called the angels down as he said he could? I believe he could. And I have the population statistics, and believe it or not, they go back and show you the population of the world at different times. And in the first century AD, these statistics, and I don't know how accurate they are, but they say 300 million would have been the population of the earth at the time of Christ. And if he would have called 10,000 angels down, they would have had the power to destroy the world six times over at that time in one night, given the same power that the angel of the Lord had over the camp of the Assyrians. Did the angels have the power to destroy the world? When you define the world as the people in it, yes, you better believe that 10,000 angels could have destroyed the world. Could have the angels set Jesus free? Well, I believe the angels could have set Jesus free, and that would have been good news for Jesus, but it would not have been good news for us, would it? It would be bad news for us. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 6, this is the devil speaking to Jesus, said, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written that he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou should dash thy foot against a stone." That's a quote of Psalms chapter 91, verses 11 and 12 that Satan quoted. And he points out there that God had given the angels charge over Jesus. He had that power. Again, I don't know how many angels there were, but I know there was at least more than 12 legions that Jesus said there in the garden. He said he could have called down more than 12 legions of angels. And I believe they could have set Jesus free. They could have brought all the events that were taking place at that time to a halt and set Jesus free. Do you believe that Jesus died alone? There might be some that look at verses like John 19 and 26 and say, well, that other disciple was there, John was there, and Jesus' mother was there, so he wasn't really alone as he hung on the cross. But looking at Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46, and maybe some of the saddest words that's ever been uttered by a human being, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He died more alone than you and I will ever be. When Jesus took the sins of the world upon himself and God turned his back on his only begotten Son, he died alone. You better believe it. More alone than we can probably even comprehend in our minds. And did he do it for you and me? Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul writes, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Did Jesus die for you and me? Right there it is in black and white. He loved us and he gave himself for us. So as we sing this song, we need to understand the reality of that song. We need to think about what it really means that Jesus in the garden could have called down more than 12 legions of angels to deliver him, to set him free. But what if Jesus had made the call? What if Jesus had called down 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free? What would that mean for us today? This is reality. This is a statement that Jesus said. Do you not understand that I have within my control, I have within my power, the ability to call down 10,000 angels? What could those angels have done? We've already read, we've already seen that those angels could have destroyed the world. And there's other places in the Bible. In 2 Samuel 24, verses 15 and 16, we can see that the angel of the Lord destroyed 70,000 there. One angel. 2 Corinthians 32 and 21, we see one angel destroying all the men of valor, the warriors of the Assyrians, and all of their leaders. We see in Acts 12 and 23, even the king had no power when it came to the angel because the angel of the Lord smote him and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. And we need to not underestimate the power of the angels and the fact that they were right at the fingertips of the Lord, that power that he could have called them down and stopped the events as they were happening. The whole of the Jewish contingency that was there, the whole of the Roman army that was there, for that matter, the strongest empire that the world had ever known, the Roman Empire, the angels could have wiped that out in an instant. They demonstrated the power time and again. That Roman Empire could not have stood if Jesus had called down 10,000 angels. But what if he had? What if he had done that? What about us today? What would it mean if Jesus had called down 10,000 angels? First and foremost, the scriptures would not have been fulfilled. Jesus said himself in the very next statement in Matthew 26, 54, right after he said that he could have called down more than 12 legions of angels, he said, but how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be. Jesus understood that the scriptures had to be fulfilled. So he didn't call down 10,000 angels. But if he had, such great prophetic chapters as Isaiah 53 would have just been a story about what might have happened, what might have been. Scores of Old Testament prophecies would have gone unfulfilled. And then what would the Bible be if it was here at all? It would be unreliable. It would be unproven, because the prophecies that are written in it would not have been fulfilled, because Jesus would not have given himself for us. The plan of God demanded that this happen. In John 10, 35, Jesus said, "The scripture cannot be broken." Jesus understood the necessity of doing what he had to do. He understood that though he had the angels at his disposal, he could not afford to do that, because all of humanity depended on him. The writings, maybe somebody would have still copied down the Bible, but what would it have been? Just a collection of stories, things that might have happened, things that could have been. But there would have been no crucifixion. Can you imagine the Bible without the crucifixion? What would it be? Everything in the Bible before it points to it. Everything after it points back to it. It's true that it would have been great if Jesus could have avoided that agony on the cross. That would be a good thing. It was a horrible thing that he had to go through, the terrible pain and suffering, the mental anguish. Everything that he had to go through, that's really sad that he had to go through that. And it grieves us when we think about that. It would have been good if he could have avoided that. But it would have been bad news for us. Because without the crucifixion, we're stuck in our sins. 1 Corinthians 15 and 3, we're going to read a few verses from there. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." We'll get back to that again in a minute. But we see that Jesus died for our sins according to what? According to the Scriptures, according to that which had been written, because the Scriptures could not be broken. The prophecies had to be fulfilled, so he had to forego that power that he had at his command to call down the angels. Romans 5 has many good verses. Verse 6, "When we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." If there was no crucifixion, there would have been no bloodshed. We just talked in our Bible study right at the close about the importance of blood. That blood would not have been shed without the crucifixion. Romans 5, 8 and 9. "Christ commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Being more than, much more than, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him." Our means of being saved is through that blood that was shed. If Jesus had called down 10,000 angels, there would have been no crucifixion, there would have been no bloodshed, there would be no remission of our sins. Many disregard the power of the crucifixion and what Jesus has done. Many ignore it. Many reject it. If Jesus had called down 10,000 angels, it wouldn't matter. There would be nothing to reject. There would be nothing to deny. There would be nothing to be ignorant of. There would have been no blood shed for our sins. If there was no blood shed for our sins, there was no crucifixion. There could be no resurrection. There could be no victory over death. Back to Romans 15, verses 3 and 4. We just read verse 3. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Jesus demonstrated power over death, and it's that power over death that gives us hope of life when this life is over. All Christianity hinges upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's true, the crucifixion and the shedding of the blood is what gives us salvation, But without the resurrection, that victory over death would not have happened, and our eternal life would not be possible. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 17. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. If Jesus had called 10,000 angels, there would have been no crucifixion. There would have been no bloodshed. There would have been no resurrection. We would be stuck in our sins. Our faith would be meaningless. Our Christianity demands our understanding that we serve a risen Savior. Jesus died and is now alive. Listen to the words of the angel in Matthew 28, 5 and 6. Because this angel's voice is the words that provide us hope, shows us that there's meaning to life, and tells us all is well. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Matthew 28, 5 and 6. The angel answered and said unto the woman, "Fear not. I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. Come and see the place where the Lord lay." Right there in that statement hinges all of our hope. That shows the victory over death. That shows the possibility of salvation, the possibility of eternal life. The empty tomb is our life. Jesus had called 10,000 angels. There would be no resurrection. There would be no empty tomb. Therefore, our faith would replace that empty tomb. Our faith would be empty. We would be without hope. There would have been no Pentecost if Jesus had called down 10,000 angels. There would be no Christ. There would be no king reigning over his spiritual kingdom. In Acts 2:30, it says that he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. If Jesus had called 10,000 angels, he would not be sitting on that throne, for he could not have been risen. There would be no plan of Jesus. There would be no Lord, no Savior, no Christ. His commandments be meaningless. The question of what must I do to be saved wouldn't even be a question, because you would have no hope of being saved. The answer to that would be nothing. You can do nothing to save yourself. If Jesus had saved himself, we could do nothing to save ourselves. Acts 2:36 says, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ." If Jesus had called 10,000 angels, there would be no gospel. The gospel means good news. There would be no good news. There would be no good news in the world. The fact that we surely face destruction, separation from God eternally. No good news in the world. No hope. There would have been no church established. There would be no point in us being here today. There would be no body of Christ. There would be no kingdom. There would be no gospel. There would be no hope. There would be no salvation if Jesus had called 10,000 angels. There would be no heaven. There would be no heaven for you and me. There could be no heaven because there could be no forgiveness of sin, and sin cannot enter into heaven. So there would be no heaven for you and for me, no hope. Hebrews 9:22 says, "Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission." Colossians 1 and 5 says, "The hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." No heaven, no hope. 1 Corinthians 15:19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, it talks about the second coming of Christ and being called up to meet him in the air. And in verse 18, what does he say? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We need comfort of the gospel. We need comfort of the hope that we have of salvation. If Jesus had called 10,000 angels, those words would be meaningless. There would be no comfort in those words. There would be no comfort in the fact that Jesus is going to come again. Because if Jesus had not died, buried, risen to reign on that throne, he wouldn't be coming again. And we would be condemned without even a chance. We have a statement that we sometimes use, and we use it way too casually. But maybe an unpleasant situation comes up and somebody asks us if we would like to do something. And maybe we'll say, well, I'd rather die first. And we don't really mean it that way. But let's look at what Jesus did. Jesus saw the condition of the world. God saw that man had no hope. And when presented with that possibility, he said, I'd rather die first. And he did. He died for you and me. And that's why we're here today, because he did not call 10,000 angels, but he gave himself freely for us. He died alone for you and me. And that's why we partake of his body and his blood in remembrance of him and what he's done for us. Let's do that now.